I'd like to begin this episode by saying that we rely on and are grateful for the support that people give us at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. The money that is given there supports this show and this network, and it gets you cool stuff in return. All kinds of exclusive content and things. You can go check it out. It's all there. But yeah, patreon.com/duckfeedtv, and thank you.
Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we're talking about Super Mario Bowser's Fury, which is a 3D platformer developed and published by Nintendo for the Switch in 2021.
Yeah, and it's a Gary pick.
It is. It's a weird pick, too.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll own up to it. I'll stump for it.
I didn't say bad.
No, it's weird, but I think there's maybe more to talk about here than it and maybe initially seems.
This is a little bit of product advocacy, because I think that this got a little bit of heat when it came out, but then quickly kind of fell by the wayside. Specifically because of the way it was released. So, you know, I can understand taking the premium episode here to do a little bit of advocacy.
It's advocacy. I want everyone listening to this to play Bowser Fury. I also want this to be the future of Mario games.
Yeah.
And probably Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many things this does that I think are really great. I really want this to have a really big influence.
Yeah.
On the future of this type of game. So it's part of the reason why I love this so much and want to talk about it is because it's a real ideal for me of this type. You know, it maxes out several boxes.
Yeah.
For me. This is our premium episode for the month, which means everybody's going to get these generalities, and then people who are patrons go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. $5 a month gets you the rest of the episode and then all of our other premium episodes.
Right. So if you're thinking Bowser's Fury, I'm a big Mario head. I don't know what this is. Maybe you forgot it because this was not released as a standalone video game. This is a small scale 3D Mario game that was packed in with the Switch version of a game that we've covered previously, Super Mario 3D World. That was re-released for the Switch. And to sweeten the pot, they said, here, have this game that's kind of a melange of a few different things.
Yeah, here's an experiment.
Yes.
They felt the need to sweeten the pot, even though the pot was already sweetened by the sweetest spice, owning a Wii U. which is the ultimate pleasure. 10,000 orgasms at once, not having a Wii. I mean, I have a Wii U, but
yeah.
Someday I'll experience those 10,000 orgasms. But it seems, you know, it feels like something they didn't need to do. You know, that was already stranded. Is it mainline Mario game that was stranded on a system nobody has? So them adding this in is just big chef fingers.
This is notably they didn't do this when they re-released Super Mario U Deluxe, right?
Yes.
When they did that, although that I guess that did pack in the Luigi content.
Yeah, or what that throws you. In a Luigi so, mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like DLC for the original. And also, like, you know, it was to sweeten the pot, but the pot was already really sweet. Like, go listen to that Super Mario 3D World episode. That also is a real experiment for Nintendo in terms of, like, what if we had 3D Mario levels that were on the scale of Mario 3 levels? Just, like, short, sweet, and just kind of built around one concept, and here you go, kind of courses. Yeah.
This is the marriage of that.
Yeah.
You know, that is the super cool thing. So like, in this, you know, you play as Mario, you're whisked away to Lapcat Lake, because there's this sludge pollution that has made, Bowser Jr. comes up and says, "Dad sometimes drinks." And it's really dark and weird.
Daddy drinks for the government.
Like, yeah, he comes up as just like, before my daddy was executed by the government, he said, "Never let the party die."
Yeah.
He comes up to you and says, "Dad's usually scary, but Dad's really scary lately. Can you help me, neighbor?" And Mario, being a good community member, is like, you know, it takes a village to raise Bowser Jr.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. So you have to deal with Fury Bowser.
Yeah.
Who's like Calamity Ganon, but for a Bowser.
Yeah. It's Bowser as a kaiju, is what it is. That's sludge and also the presence of Bowser Jr. And then we're going to get Plessy, one of the most unpleasant looking creatures that has ever been committed to a video game.
Designs.
I hate that thing.
It's so fun to move around in. It looks like a big, dumb fucking idiot.
I want a Flash game where I dip Plessy in acid.
get a Plessy skin jacket to wear in front of his kids. Like,
but like, despite all these things that are just DNA from the execrable Super Mario Sunshine, I'm just throwing out, I'm planting my flag so people know where I'm coming from.
Oh, Super Mario Sunshine is awful. Like, the reevaluation of that game has been fucking nuts.
Yeah,
the game is so bad.
Hey, I'm the one who brought it up, so pick the fight with me if you want.
Yeah. I remember retrying that when the Dolphin emulator came out.
Yeah.
GameCube emulation. Cause I'd played on GameCube and I was like, I have more appreciation for this kind of thing now, maybe. And like, it's nice and bright. I'm in the mood for it. And I think it's a bad game.
Yeah. So the fact that they brought so much in and just kind of like, hey, this is stealth, like Super Mario Sunshine alike, you know, and the fact that this is still good just kind of proves, oh, the aesthetic wasn't what was wrong with that game.
No, I don't know. What this is a mix, a kind of a mashup of all the 3D Marios so far. It is the individual level one clever concept thing mashed together with a more open world Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
Super Mario Odyssey, you went to various worlds and they would have multiple objectives in there, but you'd just be in the world.
Yeah.
This is an open world. It's smaller than, say, like Breath of the Wild or whatever, but no loading screen. You just go places.
Yeah. There's no like world map or anything like that. Something else that they do here that I really enjoy is, whereas Super Mario 3D World has those, you know, single purpose courses that are all, you know, very different. This has things that, you know, they're really kind of, you know, similar to that, these different islands, but they take something from Mario 64, which is multiple challenges to get different collectibles that slightly repurpose or rearrange the level itself around the goal that you're going for.
Yes.
You know, so like that reuse and recontextualization of space for higher difficulty, you know, objectives, I think is really clever too.
Well, it's this is all about recontextualizing, because it does that. And then it also, when we'll talk about the main kind of gimmick of this, when Fury Bowser shows up and starts puking fire on you, that also is like a different skin for the level.
Yeah.
You know, you can be doing a goal, but it has an added modifier to it. It's a real study in efficiency of using things, I think.
Yeah. So this takes Super Mario 3D World's kind of basic controls, i.e. Mario's moveset. So like no punch. You know, you've got to get the you've got to get the cat suit to do a melee attack in this, and also 3D World's power ups, you know, the body suit kind of things, and then does Super Mario Odyssey's kind of open world structure with a free controllable camera. Yes. You know, so this is not the diorama view that you get in Super Mario 3D World. So it really does feel like a mishmash.
Yes. That open worldness of it, you know, even though you do have to ride that horrible dinosaur, adds a lot, because they can put things in between there. One of the things this game does really well and excels at, I think, is that it is packed with secrets and little clever things to find, and they make the journey fun. So you're going from island to island. What would ordinarily just be a pair of loading screens in Mario Odyssey here can be like an obstacle course, or there could be a little side island to explore that has a little gameplay gimmick. Like, it's really stuffed.
Yeah. As long as it's not covered in sludge, if you see something in the horizon, you can go there and there's probably like a neat little challenge there. Even if it is, you know, a version of a challenge that you have seen before, it's still worth doing.
Yeah. And sometimes they're new. Like sometimes they're recontextualized things as well. Yeah. The way you progress in this is you complete these challenges to get cat shinies, cat shines, which are little suns that are kind of cat shaped. There is a big cat theme here. Mm-hmm. You need 50 to beat the game. But there's 100 out there, so you don't have to get them all, or you can collect all of them, you know, and be a completionist, either or. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I love games that give you a number out of a max number to get. Mm-hmm. So your journey can just kind of follow your heart. You know, like, I don't feel like doing this. I'm going to do this other thing instead. I'm not going to find this fucking red, cat shine 1/5 of a piece.
Right. Here.
I can't fucking find it. I'm moving on.
Spend a lot of time looking.
That cat shine will forever be unknown to me, and I'm going to get this other one instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good game design.
And this is a version of the Mario, what has been Mario's trick for a while, which is like credits will roll when you have finished half the game. Like you will do kind of like you will do the version of the game that introduces all of the concepts, right? And get the big climactic boss fight or what have you. And then boom, 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 you have Luigi unlocked in Super Mario Galaxy. You have the the moons in Super Mario Odyssey, I think it was.
You're always collecting moons Super Mario Odyssey, but it's closer to Super Mario Odyssey where like it doesn't unlock new content. You can just go do the stuff you didn't do before.
Yeah.
For the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like the challenge levels of Galaxy.
Yeah.
You know, beating the game is beating half the game, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah. So you collect enough cat shines in a region. Each region has this Giga Bell, you know, the power up that turns you into Cat Mario, is a little bell. This is a gigantic one that will turn you into Super Saiyan Cat Mario.
You turn into a Saiyan Cat Mario.
Yeah.
You go like actionably. So
yeah, but you are gigantic. And then you go into a boss fight with Bowser, you know, where both of you are huge and, you're doing like a kaiju fight in the middle of this lake.
Yes. It's worth talking about these fights.
Yes.
Here as a major difference in terms of Mario shakeups in this. Mm-hmm. These fights do not behave like Mario Brothers fights.
Right.
You know, in exactly the same way. Like a Mario Brothers boss fight, I always consider this to be one of the weaker things of the series. And it is one of my least favorite parts of Odyssey, where every boss just had a single kind of gimmick to mm-hmm. it. Like this boss throws its hats. And every third hat, it throws one that's a different color, and that one you can ride back to its head and stomp on it.
Yeah.
And you just do that three times, the third time it gets faster. Mm-hmm. That's literally every boss in Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
This is not only a little bit more rigorous, but there's a lot more expression mm-hmm. to it. At first, it seems like, you know, when I first played this, I was like, okay, you just avoid Bowser and wait for him to do his drops, and you jump over the ring that comes out of him. Mm-hmm. Ground pound him, and it's just a regular boss fight. And then I realize there are a lot of other ways to interact with Bowser.
Yeah.
During this, like he does moves like he rolls at you and he turns his belly to you. And if you scratch it, you knock him off his rhythm. Mm-hmm. And you can attack him there. You can pick up things and throw him at him.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting that the fact that this is a kaiju fight actually does something neat to recontextualize the space mm-hmm. because the level geometry you've been going through and platforming on is now cover.
Yep.
It's really neat, like at that scale to hide behind a level and you can see like the whole thing, like, oh, that's that part where I did this little trick and or mm-hmm. this little jump. The whole thing just exists in small scale to act as something you can duck behind during this. And even the fact that it has like cover, like these are the most complicated boss fights that Mario has ever done, much to its credit. Like I again, this is something I want them to take the series going forward. Mm-hmm. This kind of expressive, a lot less pattern based boss fight.
Yeah, it's definitely a breath of fresh air. And like, yeah, the belly bounce, you know, when you stomp mm-hmm. on him after he does his drop, that does the most damage to him. But it's not like you just have to hit him three times and then he goes away. He has a persistent health bar. And then, you know, when you get it down to a certain point, that's when he goes back to sleep.
Yeah. And it's a great animation. He goes, fuck this. He's spending the whole time sleeping in the center of this lake.
Yeah.
And he gets up every few minutes, regardless of where you're at. So every, you know, after you collect a certain number of cat shines, this when you do the boss fight, up until that point, he's still going to come up and breathe fire on you. The lake turns into a stormy nightmare version of it. Mm-hmm. This can get a little bit obnoxious, you know, because you're trying to get a specific thing.
Though,
and it probably happens a little bit more frequently than I want it to.
I would chill it out by about 15%, I think.
Yeah. Not too much though. You know, it's a little bit too much. I think I would too. Or have it go away once you've beaten the boss. So you can then just, you know, collect the rest of the shines. Mm-hmm. But it does, again, that recontextualization is the watchword. Not only are you trying to accomplish your goals while lava is raining from the sky and Bowser's jumping around shooting fire at you, because if you get any cat shine, he'll go away.
Yeah.
You can use new platforms will appear and his attacks will destroy certain objects.
Yeah.
So you have to bait him into things in order to get some of these cat shines. Yeah. Again, that just kind of hiding secrets everywhere philosophy with this.
Yeah. And even just the recontextualizing, oftentimes it is annoying when you are going for a particular goal. Bowser coming out and starting to launch attacks at you, that doesn't immediately derail you. It doesn't say like, hey, run ended. It is a new wrinkle. But often, a lot of times the new stuff that drops in order to be cover ends up making the platforming challenge to get where you're going to be going easier. Or, I'll just like, all right, well, nearby, might as well. I'm going to go and get the shine that is only available when Bowser uses his breath attack on these particular blocks. A lot of times it does present a new opportunity for you, so it is not just like the game arbitrarily deciding, okay, goals change now. It's a little bit more textured than that,
and because it has so many ways forward, because you're trying to collect 50 of these things out of 100 and there are so many, it can also be an opportunity to go for one that's easier to make him go away and then concentrate on a harder one during the refractory period between when Bowser comes. I was trying to make that more of a euphemism, and then I realized that actually was plausibly deniable. Every time you fight him and beat him, the sludge recedes and reveals a new part of the lake with more islands. It's worth noting these aren't unlocked one by one, like they're huge regions. This only happens a few times. So you get a lot more to explore.
They unlock in groups of like three or four is what it is. So you can approach any of them that unlock in any particular order. So you can just kind of follow your fun. Oh, I don't like the drop away donut blocks. I'm going to go to the clear pipes that I can steer around, like that. Death is handled differently because of the open world kind of
aspect
of this. There's
a full funeral that happens in real time every time Mario dies. It's actually pretty bleak.
It's Mario Kart, but you're driving in a procession.
And then it's just a close up on Luigi crying for like about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to die. It's unskippable. If you turn it off, Mr. Rossetti comes and fucking firebombs your house.
Show some goddamn respect.
He was like a brother to me.
Luigi wails and throws himself on the coffin like Leland Palmer as it lowers into the ground.
Who will call it the Widow Peach now? Nothing happens. It's great.
So if you die, you lose 50 coins and you go back to the beginning of the island, right?
Yes.
If you collect 100 coins, you get a power up. And power-ups, just gives you one at random. Power-ups are banked for future use. I was never not rolling deep with these things. I could always pull out whatever power-up I needed, which is this could be lodged as a complaint against the game. It is on the easy side,
It's not about that, though.
Yeah.
To me, as a game that is about following your fun as much as this is, I don't mind being able to always just throw a mushroom on if I get hit. Mm-hmm. Contrast with Breath of the Wild, where you can carry around a fucking Johnny Appleseed load of apples at all times. You'll never die.
Yeah.
All you do is pause and eat, and that game is about survival. Like, you're making mm-hmm. expeditions. You have to cook special food. You have to put on special outfits. Mm-hmm. You are trying to make your way into the unknown. In that game, that kind of ease and that kind of simplicity was frustrating to me. Mm-hmm. This game isn't about that, though. It's a candy colored, you know, fun box they call the Sandman. Yeah. It's I know where you're going. The it's just a fun little trifle. So, like, I just want to shoot around some pipes, mm-hmm. be a cat, find other cats.
Yeah.
Listen to this, you know, great swing soundtrack and just have a good time. I don't want to be watching a loading screen when I die. I don't want to see the funeral.
Yeah.
I don't want to console the Widow Peach. You know, I really appreciate that I don't have to.
Yeah. You know? I don't necessarily feel like it is a huge demerit, but it is something that I could see being a concern if you know, somebody was, you know, coming for this specifically for, you know, like Super Mario Galaxy 2 levels of like intricate challenge, right?
Yes, this isn't that, even though it is in some ways more challenging than some Mario games. Like, the boss fights are more challenging, mm-hmm. You know, and rigorous in general. It realizes it's not about that, but like so many ways, like, and I'm not saying this to respond to you. I'm saying it to mm-hmm. respond to the theoretical person who's upset about this. It's really forward-looking in that, like, that idea of lives or having scarcity while doing those kind of things mm-hmm. is a dead idea.
Yeah.
You know, that's everybody knows that's fucking out, you know, and it's always felt silly that Mario is holding on to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you also have Bowser Jr. With you. The game very mm-hmm. cannily gives you the ability to decide how much you want him involved.
Yes.
If you play this two
how
player
much custody you want.
Take him, he's yours. Yeah. If you're playing co-op, the second player can control Bowser Jr., have him fly around mm-hmm. in his little cloud car and swipe at stuff with his paintbrush. If mm-hmm. he's controlled by AI, he's either just present and nearby, or he is going and doing stuff kind of on his own, kind of taking pot shots, taking attacks at folks. That ended up being worse because he would fuck up plans that I had. If I was planning to bounce off of somebody in order to, you know, make a maneuver, he would almost always swoop in and then kill that guy and look at me and say, I'm helping.
Yeah, he's a little shit. What I wish would happen with Bowser Jr. is you could set him just to collect coins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want him to do anything except for pick things up that aren't on my path.
Right.
But I just turned him off.
Right.
It's fine. Like, I wish I could turn off a real kid. Yeah. He can also find hidden power-ups by drawing graffiti of power-ups on walls.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes good for him. One real quick note that I want to mention too, this is way back, but I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. How good is it that the hated Plessy is just wherever you need him to be?
Oh, it's great.
Like, you don't have to summon him. There's mm-hmm. no button or anything.
Yeah.
Like, he just happens to be there. He knows what's up.
Mm-hmm. If there's a dock nearby, there's going to be a Plessy at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're just, even if you're by the side of an island, and you're getting ready to leave, chances are he's waiting for you. He just appears. They don't even fuck with it.
Yeah.
I love it. You know? Yeah,
it's it is very well done, which is they recognize what you want when you are going towards the water, which is probably to cross a bunch of water, and they're not going to try and stop you from doing it
or slow you down. You know, it is a game that is about one of the big strengths is of this game, I think, is recognizing, looking at the past and looking at the 3D Mario legacy and making very cognizant and intentional decisions about what was good and what was bad friction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and realizing, like, that kind of shit, you know, getting to a place, even in games that I love, like getting to a place in Mario Galaxy where I need a Yoshi, mm-hmm. But I've lost my Yoshi and now I have to go back to the front of the level to get another Yoshi again. Mm-hmm. What is that doing for the greater good?
Yeah.
You know, like, what does that test in me? What kind of gameplay is that asking of me? Nothing. It's just I have to walk back. Put a fucking Yoshi there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put a Plessy there.
Yeah.
Like, don't waste my goddamn time. And that's the thing about Bowser's Fury is it wastes none of your time. It's not interested in wasting your time.
Yeah.
It's an efficient game.
Visual design is fun. I love how literally everything is a cat. You know,
the ground is a cat.
Yep.
There's no grass. It's like fur. That's weird.
That is monstrous.
It's a fucking furquake. Like, we're all gonna get vibrated to death on this purring monstrosity.
But it's nice and colorful. It's real reminiscent of Mario 3D World. A little bit of sunshine thrown in. Although if you're playing this in handheld mode, boy, does this chug. Like, I'm not a big performance guy, you know, mm-hmm. like I only comment when I notice it. Like, it's not asking it to do an awful lot of complex stuff, but I think a combination of this engine and this system makes this feel a little bit more like it's held together with baling wire and twine, you know. It bothered me in this one.
I didn't have too much chug. I only do handheld mode. I didn't notice it either playthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, it could be I wasn't paying enough attention, or
there are different sensitivities to it too.
Yeah. Different Switch models.
Yeah.
I nitro blasted mine.
I got a modder. I'm playing on the OLED.
Maybe that's what it is. I'm playing on the old version. Maybe it's not as optimized for it.
I don't know.
Who knows? But the experiences might vary on that, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Yeah.
Music and sound is what you expect for a 3D Mario game. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's big band jazz.
Yeah.
You know, good time music. Specifically, I like the Plessy music, even though it sucks that you're riding around on a big rubber nightmare. It does sound good.
Yes. Yeah. The unfortunate thing is, I really want to know how this product came about. Like, what were the series of yeses that were answered to make this happen? You know, like, what was the demand that they were seeking to meet by putting this together, either internally or externally? Problem is, it's Nintendo, who are very much, you know, kind of closed doors on a bunch of this stuff, but also it is really modern Nintendo. So it's not been enough time where they feel comfortable like opening the books on some of this. So like, the promo materials and the developer, like, there's not really a developer interview about this. I can't even just do a search and see like who on the team worked on what here.
Yeah. You need like a cleric to do an Iwata asks. The one thing we know is it's the main Mario team,
mm-hmm.
Who did it. Like, they put the main Galaxy people on it.
Yeah.
But other than that, we don't know who specifically.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. And it sold well. This was, you know, this game, and it's always hard to say whether it was this or the thing it was attached to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the combo piece was the best-selling game United States the month it released, as far as I can tell, did well.
Yeah, it did well, and it's, you know, hard to say how much of that is just kind of the dearth of first-party software on the Switch or any Nintendo handheld. We're like, all right,
yes,
yeah, no, you got this thing, baby. You know, people are going to buy it because it has Nintendo's name on it, or how much it was, you know, people specifically seeking this out or playing it. And as far as like critical splash or what have you, I remember people talking about it a little bit, but didn't. I don't remember it leaving that much of an impression.
It's pretty well loved, at least in the YouTube criticism mm-hmm. space, which is where, like, you know, a lot of criticism happens now because websites is dead.
Yeah.
Who would want to work for a website right now?
Oh, God.
You know, imagine throwing yourself on that pyre. You know, podcast and YouTube are where the future of video game criticism will live.
Yeah.
And there it has made a pretty good impression.
Yeah.
At the very least in new media.
Yeah.
And that is going to be it for the generalities. Shorter episode. But again, we threatened to do shorter episodes and we meant mm-hmm. it. If you are hearing this, it means this is the public feed. If you want to hear the whole episode, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah. You're going to be able to get all of our premium episodes when you do that. So all the ones that came before, and also next month you will get the Resident Evil 4 remake episode that we're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Next month's games are, so we have a live episode about 7 out of 10 games. That was very fun. We did that with Bob Mackey from the Retronauts. We're talking about Infernax, Pentiment,
mm-hmm.
and then the premium episode for that month is going to be the RE4 remake. So get all of those by becoming a member.
Yeah. If you are listening to this and you are a non-straight, non-white, non-cis, non-dude creator, and you would like us to shout out your project, please send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. This week, we want to talk about, this is really cool. This is a gaming store called Tabletop Gaming over in Syracuse, New York. Sean reached out to me, who is a part of that collective. It is worker owned. Largely queer and non-binary folk who own it and are making a gaming community there in Central New York. So check that out. That's Tabletop Gaming at 234 Harrison Street in Syracuse.
Nice. Sounds a physical location. Rad. Yeah, that yeah. rocks. I love the idea of running a tabletop space like a co-op.
Yeah, that's a super cool idea.
Or workers co-op, and, yeah.
Yeah. I would, let's say, you know, I lived in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. This would be my jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can find some more information about them if you go to ttgaming.quest. Great web address.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. And kind of check out what their steez is. Mm-hmm. But support them if you happen to live near there.
Please do. Yeah. Also, please rate or review the podcast. Subscribe wherever you can. You know, do all the stuff that you've listened to podcasts before, you know how to help us. Yes. And we would like to thank Gwen, our producer, who is currently on tour.
Yeah. Break a leg, Gwen.
Please do.
And thank you very much.